All right, Leviticus 19, verse 32. This has been a really rich chapter. Okay, the Bible says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." That's it. That's all we're going to talk about here tonight. Proverbs 16, verse 31 also says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." So once again, we need to reemphasize that this is the moral law of God we're dealing with here. You know, this is the matter of honoring the elderly is not a religious thing. It's a moral thing.
Right.
Failing to do so then is what?
Sin.
That's right. The moral law of God defines sin. The moral law of God, the way it's written in the Bible, names specific sins. It deals with specific issues that you do or don't do, and it defines it as sin. And this is one of them. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." What do you think when you hear those words? I mean, what does that mean? Well, it's like standing up when they come in the room. You stand up and honor. I mean, it's, it used to be a thing. If a woman entered a room, the man would stand up.
Yes.
That's just good old manners, honor, respect, politeness, you know. Not much of that in our time, is there?
No, sir.
Not much of this either. In fact, there's not much of any moral law in our time, is there? That's honored and kept. But do you think that God has backed off? You think he's changed his mind about it? No, sir. So, neglecting to do so is sin. Failing to do so is sin. This is basic moral law. What I mean by that this is foundational stuff that other moral concepts rest upon. And I really mean that. This is one of those things. If you don't honor, and I don't mean by doing, it's not the fact of standing up. It's not the fact of saying something to them. It's how you feel in your heart.
Yes, sir.
It's having it in you to have respect and regard and honor for the old man. That's what it says here. The face of the old man. Honor the face of the old man. Honor. Now, you do that with your heart and with your mind. That's why it's foundational. See, this thing here has to do with both your heart and your mind. It's a thing that when cast aside, it brings on many other moral failures as well. I mean, having a regard and a reverence for the aged will influence the way you think and feel about many other things too. If you don't respect old people, you ain't going to respect anybody. In fact, that's what I was fixing to say here. Those who act proudly against the ancient also act proudly against all authority. And not only that, but they'll also act proudly against everyone. If you don't respect the aged, you don't respect anybody. If you won't honor the aged, you won't honor anybody. If you won't regard their authority, you won't regard anybody's authority. And that's just the way it is. It's a moral anchor that God put down. This is one of those old ancient landmarks that you ain't supposed to move. Not only that, but failure to have a regard and reverence for the aged in your heart shows that you have a shallow, selfish, and a very short-sighted view of life.
Yes, sir.
Because if you live, you're going to be old. And you're going to be old before you think you're going to be old.
That's true.
And you will reap what you sow. The hoary head, Bible said there, I read in Proverbs 16:31, is a crown of glory. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, time changes our appearance and our countenance as we grow old. And it distinguishes us from others. Now, you know what an old person is, don't you? I want to say something. Let me just stick here because I'll get ahead of myself if I don't. Time adjusts the way we look so that other people can recognize us as aged, old. You know, we don't usually have a problem knowing when somebody's old, do we? Since that's the way God has ordained life to be, why would people want to fight it so much? Fight getting old so much. Fight looking old so much. Looking old, that hoary head, those gray hairs identify you as old. They tell us, they tell everybody something about you. You're old. You're older than they are if their hair ain't gray. Why you want to paint it black then, or red, or green, or something? I mean, why do you want to cover it up? What God says is a crown of glory. Why you want to hide it?
Exactly.
Well, could be because they're not righteous. It could just be the sign of an old fool.
True.
And they don't want it known. You know. Why do we treat it as such an undesirable thing to grow old? Why is that such an undesirable thing? I hear it all the time. Boy, the golden years, it sure ain't what it's cut out to be. Blah, blah, blah. We do that with a lot of things, you know. You ever notice that? We consider things to be a curse that God means to be a great blessing. Like marriage. That's all everybody talks about. It's, oh man, it's like you're going to the funeral. had a wedding in the Carson Hill Cemetery Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. A holy matrimony on Halloween in the cemetery. Yes, sir. But everybody puts down marriage. What is this? They've been doing it for years and years. They did it on the Andy Griffith Show, you know. Nobody's married on that show. You've read that little thing. That's why everybody's so happy, because nobody was married. Is that really the way it is? The Bible that you say you believe there says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The Bible says it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him an help meet for him. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The Bible never, never speaks of marriage as some kind of curse or burden or a thing that God just put on man to humble him or make him miserable. But that's the way everybody talks about it. And getting old is not a thing that God has cursed. God has made it a blessing. For the one getting old and for everybody else coming along behind him. He means for it to be a blessing. And a hoary head, gray heads, a crown of glory. It would be found in the way of righteousness. So, Proverbs 20 and verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength and the beauty of old men is the gray head. People talk about children the same way. They're a curse.
Yeah.
And the Bible says the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You know, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Happy is the man. His wife, you know, and it talks in another place about his wife being as a vine, fruitful vine by the sides of the house. And children being a blessing.
Yes.
And men, and then you hear him talking about, I don't know how you can stand that many kids. I got one, and it's all I can stand. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, it'll come to the point where they'll say, blessed is the barren womb.
We're there.
Yeah. It's just not that way. Church, people think church is a burden. And it's a blessing.
Amen.
The Sabbath is a burden because I can't make no money. And it's meant to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. We're getting old. You know, in spite of sin in the world, and we think getting old is just death. No, getting old is like October. Getting old is like the harvest comes in. Yes. Getting old is when the colors all come out in the on the hills and the valleys. That's the way it ought to be.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way we ought to look at it. Mm-hmm. We ought to look at old age as a blessing from God. Not everybody gets to be old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The cemeteries are full of young people and babies who never lived to be old. And so why do we strive to hide the very thing that God commands us to honor? Why do we do that? Honor the face of the old man. Rise up before the hoary head. Why do we do our best to hide it in ourselves? You know, by hiding our gray hair and wrinkles and everything else that tells others we're aged and to be honored, why do we want to do that? Why do people want to do that? I mean, if you're 60, why do you want to look 30?
Exactly.
Why do you want people to say, well, you look like you're just 30 years old? I seen a picture one time here. It's been a few years ago, but it was Joan, one of the movie stars. What's her name? Joan Collins, that was her name. And I looked at that, and her face looked just like it always did. But I just looked down at her neck. She left her neck showing, and it looked like a lizard skin. I mean, it was just like a line right here, and it's all smooth and young-looking skin. Paint and caulk's what it was.
Yes.
And the real her from here down was just looked like... Well, it looked like an Ethiopian that had been in the desert for 95 years. Why do you want to hide what you really look like? Are you ashamed of yourself? Are you ashamed that you're old? You shouldn't be. If it be found in the way of righteousness, it says. All right, now Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13 says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. All right, this does not give us an option about rising up before the hoary head. Y'all listen to me. And honoring the face of the old man. That's not your excuse not to. You don't get to pick just the certain ones you honor their face and rise up before them, and the rest of them just old fools. No, you don't get to do that. This just acknowledges that a gray head can be found on an old fool as well as a righteous person. And this just simply says that the gray hair is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Y'all understand that? That's not a qualification for honoring them. If it is found on the head of a wicked, unrighteous person, it only shows that he's an utter fool to have lived so long without learning what life and eternity are about in God. If this is the case, he's to be pitied. But we're still to rise up before them and honor the face of the old man. Y'all understand this? It's just like saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Like saying please, like saying thank you. It's a moral issue for you. Right. Now, it has nothing to do with them.
Right.
You rise up before the hoary head.
Yes, sir.
You honor the face of the old man. That's what is right for you to do and me to do. We're not the moral judge of the universe. That's what our God has commanded us to do. That is what He has defined as right for us to do. And if we don't do it, we're wrong and we're sinning. There's nothing here about the old man has to earn our respect. There's nothing here about that old man has to deserve our respect. There's nothing that qualifies him. This is a command from God for us. I want to make that real clear. Everybody thinks they've got a right to just pick and choose about all God's commandments. And they get to discern what is right and wrong for them, you see? Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you're just like this wicked world.
Yes,
and the devil himself. Mm. Honor the old man. Honor his face. That don't mean you have to praise him and believe him. Look at the old fool. Don't you pity him? And it's a long life lived anyway. And you don't know what has made him like this. And it's too late to change anything about his life anyway. The context of this verse here, well, let me read this. I'll jump down too far here. When this pillar of moral law is rejected and neglected and set aside in a society, it's the very sure sign that they're near the end of their existence as a people. When they stop honoring the old people. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 5. Now I read you a verse there a while ago. But this here it says in verse 5. Isaiah 3. And the people shall be oppressed. Every one by another. Now you got that? How's everybody treating one another? Oppressing one another. And every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. And the base against the honorable. The context of that verse is a description by God of the state of things in the land of Israel just before they were judged by God, which, you know, is Israel, but it's that way with every people. People are folks, no matter where you go, no matter what time they lived in, what color they are, folks are folks. And they do the same things, they act the same way. And there you go, the child behaving himself proudly against the ancient. I didn't write these verses down, but I did look at them today. You remember when Elisha came out and those little children, it says, came out and they said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head," making fun of him. You remember what happened to him, don't you? Yes. That's terrible. No, that's what they deserved.
Amen.
Dishonoring an old man, bunch of children, acting proudly and you know, dishonorably, disrespectful to an old man and to a prophet besides. The prophet of Israel. And that's the way they talked to him. What did their mom and dad teach them?
Nothing. Not much.
Their mom and dad were probably rebels and arrogant and proud. And backbiters and everything else. With no respect or regard for anything or anybody. This sin is accompanied by some other sins that are very familiar to us now in our land and in our world. In that same chapter there, verses 8 through 13. Just listen. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory. The shew of their countenance doth witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. That's what's going on. At the same time, they won't honor thee. Same time, same verse here, same context. The children acting proudly against the ancient, women are ruling over them. Children are their oppressors. And then in verse 16, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making it a tinkling with their feet. See, that's the state of things. All that goes together. It really does. If you find a place of people who won't honor their older folks, then all the rest of this is going to be going on, I promise you. It's a state of, it's a moral state of a people. Yes, decay, degeneration. They have went down, and away from God. You know, the aged, the older people, they're a sore. Why would God have it this way? Why would He arrange things in such a way as this? Well, it don't take much to figure it out. An aged, they're a source of knowledge and wisdom that are overlooked and wasted a lot of the time. Most of the time. That is really so. I wish I could express it plain enough here tonight. Everybody seems to be fascinated with old pictures and antiques and old things, and they let their imagination run wild just looking at them things. They'll just find something old and they'll look at it and, oh my goodness, that's old. And there's an old person who lives right close to you. Or you can go to a nursing home and talk to somebody that's older than that thing you're looking at.
Exactly.
And they were alive then. They can tell you just how it was, and a whole bunch more. But you don't ever do that. You just like to look at them things and imagine and fantasize about it. But at the same time, people fail to realize there's people around them that were alive in a different generation and at a different time who could tell you all about it. Failing to get from them the knowledge and the wisdom they possess when we know they'll not be around much longer, well, that's terrible folly on the part of those who are younger. That's foolishness, folly, to not avail ourselves of what they know. It always happens. You know, after somebody's gone, you think of things, man, why didn't I ask him? Because he knew. He knew who was kin to who. He knew where who was buried where. He knew all kinds of stuff.
Yes, sir. Do that about mom.
But when they're gone, can't ask them anymore.
That's right.
Couldn't talk to them and ask them, what was it really like in the good old days? They'd tell you the truth. I mean, they'd tell you how it really was. A people, you know, they lose their direction and their identity when they fail to receive it from the previous generations that live long enough to tell them about it. I was thinking about this here a while back, and you know, I've preached about things like this, you know, a good bit, but generations overlap one another. And, you know, I don't even know how many, probably, I think I figured maybe 5 or 6 generations from the time I was a little boy, and I can remember old people, and just, and by the time I die, and the ones that are following me, man, that's 5 or 6 generations that every person, see, has the potential to span. You know, all the cultures, we were talking the other night about it, like Indians and others, all of the cultures of people that were illiterate, supposedly, you know, but they passed down their heritage and the knowledge and the history of their people by
oral
history, yeah. And they repeated it and repeated it and repeated it to their children and to their grandchildren so they would know who they were and know where they came from and know why they're here and know what is theirs. And, and see, that's all lost. They revered and honored old people, even savage people, ungodless people, pagans, the Oriental people. I guess they still do. I don't know. It always has been a big deal with them.
Yes.
The elderly. They just treated them almost like gods.
Yes.
We sure don't, do we? If everybody who cared anything at all knew what it was like for these old people in the nursing homes right now, if they knew, they'd... they wouldn't be worrying about this election and all this cheating. They would, they'd be a lot more upset about that than they would be about all this evil and nonsense, vanity. No, we don't. We've lost that. We've changed over to a new system where you have to earn respect and earn honor no matter what, no matter if you're old, no matter what. The aged are a necessary part of the social order for a family, for a church, for a nation. When there are no old people, there's a great void. Just like there is when there are no children.
That's right.
Yes. I've always said to you, you know, that's why we don't have children's church and stuff. I believe this is right. I believe everybody ought to worship together, the old and the young. Yes. These little bitty ones ought to see the old people worship
yes,
God.
Sir.
That's how they learn.
Mm-hmm.
The example that's set. Mm-hmm. And another thing, I mean, you want to make the old people in the nursing home happy? What's the thing that makes them come alive more than anything, Esther? Children. Take some children in there and watch them. Let us come to life. It's a thing that's missing from their life. Children. God made it that way. Families are made up that way. Babies, all the way to old people and everybody in between. That's what a family is made of. That's how a church is supposed to be. That's how mankind is supposed to be all together. I mean, we're supposed to care for those who are older. And you know, where the Bible talks about he that... provideth not for his own, hath denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about caring for your elderly widows and old people, family. If you don't take care of them, you're worse than an infidel. It ain't talking about a man providing for his family. That ain't what it's talking about at all. It's talking about this right here, because it's such a moral issue. They're our most important influence on the children and everyone younger than themselves. Not just the little children, everybody.
Yep.
Everybody needs them around. They're a stable, they're an influence of stability. Should be.
Yep.
I know it's not always perfect. I know that sometimes older people they've lived a life that has messed up their mind and they can be a burden and a problem. But that doesn't change our duty morally before God concerning them.
That's right.
They're just an important part. Have you ever watched children with old people? It's like the children don't even notice they're old. They'll just talk to them. And it just thrills the old people. When an old person looks at a little child, they're just remembering. And they're just looking at life as a whole. It makes them do that. A young person cannot imagine how offensive it is to an older person to be disrespected and dishonored by those who are younger. Job said in Job 30 and verse 1. Now, you know Elihu, he spoke up and said now. He said, I'm young and you're old and I've kept my peace, but I'm telling you, I just got to say this, and blah, blah, blah. Job said, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. He put it to him pretty strong, didn't he? That's just how he felt, too. And you know what? He's right. The reason that it's so offensive is because he's lived a long life. And he knows that he has forgotten more than these young people even know.
That's right.
And yet they're so proud and ignorant as to look at him as their inferior. You can't imagine how offensive that is to an older person. If he's 60 and you're 20, he has seen the sun rise and set 14,600 times more than you have. If you're 20 and he's 80, he's lived 21,900 full days and nights more than you have. Well, let me ask you something. What did he do in all those days that he lived and you didn't? You reckon that he might have seen something you ain't seen yet? Reckon he might have heard something you haven't heard yet? Reckon he might have learned something you haven't learned yet? Is that possible? What has he seen in all those days that you haven't seen yet? Thousands and thousands of days. He's seen and heard things and lived in a world that you never knew anything about and never will unless he tells you about it. You just need to get the perspective right when you're looking at an old person. You need to think. That's the thing. Don't be a numbskull. Knucklehead. Just think. Look at that old person and think about that right there. If he's lived 40 years longer than you, that's 14,600 days. Yep. He's encountered every kind of problem with people and animals and things that life can dish out, and you've only begun to learn of those things. It's offensive to young people if the old people tell them you're still wet behind the ears. But you are. If you ain't lived long enough to learn how to, you can just barely tie your shoes. And then you look at some old person that's done been around the sun so many more times than you have. And you just need to face the fact that he knows or she knows a lot more than you do. That ought to cause you to rise up before that hoary head. That ought to cause you to honor the face of that old man.
Yep.
That's right.
Not to humble you before him. Or her. He could help you to have a much better life if you'd just sit down with him or her and just let him talk to you a while and listen. He could help you. That's what he wants to do. He's got to give. He's got something to give to you. If you haven't. But you got to take the time.
Yes.
And you got to be aware. And you've got to look at these people. And when you look at an old person, you just see an old wrinkled up person, don't you? But we know this stuff, but yet we don't think about it. That's what I'm saying to you. You got to think. When you look at an old person, just stop in your mind. Just stop and think. They were 20 years old once.
Yes, sir.
They were young. They were a kid once. They had a wife, most likely, a husband. They raised children. They had grandchildren. That's the normal. Most of them, that's the way it is.
Yes.
And now you're seeing an old man. Or an old woman that's all maybe not able to hardly communicate anymore. It's just a moral issue. It's just really, really wrong to dishonor the old people. Well, if he's a righteous man who's lived for God and truly sought to do God's will in his life, he is a rare, rare jewel that you ought to treasure more than all the money and riches in this world. And I really mean that. How many do you know? How many do you know that it's a crown of glory found in the way of righteousness? How many do you know? I guarantee you know a lot more old fools than you do this kind of person. But if it's found in the way of righteousness, oh my, it's worth a lot more than just knowing how it was in the old days. It's worth a lot more than knowing how they did things with a Model T or a Model A and, you know. What does he know about God? After living 20,000 days. Well, more than that. He's lived 21,900 days longer than you. If you're 20 and he's 80, that's 60 years. See, I've lived more than 20,000 days. Quite a bit more. What do you learn about God if you live all those days seeking him? If you'd sit still and listen to him and let him try to communicate to you what he knows about God, and you would receive it, it'd give you a leg up in earthly life and in spiritual life that you can get nowhere else. Y'all hear me? My, my. Don't look at old people and say, well, I don't know where they made their mistake. Boy, if they'd have done this, if they'd have done that, you know, if they'd have been this, if they'd have been that. That's dumb. Dumb. If they have made a lot of mistakes, they'd be more valuable to you than somebody that's been successful in everybody else's eyes and everything they've done. If they've made mistakes, they learn lessons them other people didn't ever learn. They can help you. So, rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. He said, I am the Lord thy God. Right after that, just like he said after all those other things, this is the right thing to do. Fear God. I am the Lord thy God. Remember this. Your mom and dad teach you to be polite, say yes sir and yes ma'am and all that, and please and thank you. I hope they've taught you to respect older people too. To think of them like you ought to think. It's so sad to see them. And we've got a lot more of it in our time. The dementia and Alzheimer's and all that, where they lose control of their mind. I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with this sinful generation. The people that are old right now weren't old 50 years ago. In the middle of all of this sexual revolution and all. But it's real sad to see old people who just lose their ability to think and remember and reason. And, but you ought to look at them and have compassion on them. And you ought to honor them. You ought to speak to them kindly. You ought to be patient with them. That's right. All right, Father, we thank you for the word of God. It's true. We need it. I need it. I need to be reminded often about all this. Please help us to obey. And not just by trying to alter our behavior, but Lord, help us to get this down deep in our heart and our soul. Help us to look at the older people that we've talked about tonight. But help us to see all men clearly and not just look at people as things. Help us to wake up and think and have a heart and a mind and compassion toward other people, all people, but especially those that are older than us, ahead of us in the journey. The Bible is clear from cover to cover about this matter. I pray you'd help us to keep it in mind, not speak disrespectfully, And Lord, help us, I pray. Get us home safely tonight. Work in our hearts and help us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.